I got a little higher, 3 plus 3, I think, or 4 plus 4, but I have a basis that goes beyond conventionalism. Gee, if conventionalism were correct, then no meaning would be possible. For if all meaning is based on changing experience, which in turn gets its meaning from changing experience, etc., then there is actually no basis for the meaning. You can never get meaning. What if I say, I loan you $10, lend you $10, and I come back to you and say, I'd like my $10 back. And you say, well, I gave it to him to give to you. I go to him and say, would you give me my $10? And he says, I go to him. And you send me on an infinite regress. Did you really give me my $10 back? No, I never got it. And that's the way this is. You never cash in. I mean, there's really never any basis for meaning. This is based on that, which is based on that, which is based on that. But where's the basis? There's no basis for it anywhere. H, conventionalism has only internal criteria for meaning, such as coherence. But internal criteria cannot adjudicate meaning conflicts of the same statements from different worldview vantage points. For example, in him we live and move and have our being can be interpreted pantheistically or theistically. Take the statement, ye are gods. That can be interpreted pantheistically, theistically, polytheistically. You have to know the context in which it is made. And if conventionalism were true, there'd be no way to adjudicate from one to another. Could mean all or any, and no way to know which is the meaning. Conventionalism has a circular justification. It really does not justify its claim, but simply asserts its meaning. It's quite different for me to say, I believe this is true, and I know it is true. If I say I know it's true, I have to have some justification. J, conventionalist distinction between surface and depth grammar assumes one has a vantage point independent of experience, which conventionalism by its very nature does not have. Their way out of many of these dilemmas is to talk about meta-language statements, or depth grammar and surface grammar. If conventionalism were true, you couldn't make the distinction between meta-language, because you're not standing outside of language by their own definition to know what language is about. And you're not standing in any depth to know the difference between surface grammar and depth grammar, so how could you make the statement or the distinction? K, no truly descriptive knowledge of God is possible in a conventionalist view of language. Since language is simply based in our experience, it tells us only what God seems to be to us, not what he really is in himself. Finally, they reduce the meaning of God to a mere interpretive framework rather than an extra cosmic being beyond the world which the Bible claims him to be. God becomes only a linguistic framework to think about your religious experience, not a word to describe an ultimate reality. I think that's deadly to what we believe, and since it is self-defeating and self-destructive, I don't think we have anything to fear from it, except ignorance of it, use of it, without realizing what people are using or saying. Any thoughts on... Well, let me put it in terms of what we've already concluded here. I prefer that what you do is, if this is the original Greek New Testament, and this is, let's say, a meaning here, form A, and form B, and form C, I prefer that when you translate that into a language, say English, that you find in this language the form that most closely approximates that form. And I think everybody would agree in theory here that what we're supposed to do is find the form. The question is not whether we should find the form, the essence, the meaning that goes across. The question is whether the dynamic equivalent is the best form. And that's an intramural debate as to whether, let's say, the dynamic equivalent is better than, let's say, a literal translation of it. I prefer the more literal translations for this reason. Since we believe that it's the original that's inspired, and since meaning is in the text, and since that text is given in a culture and cannot be separated from its culture and its usage, that I think what you need to do is to get the reader into that context to properly understand it, and that translating that whole thing into his cultural context does him a disservice and changes the center of gravity to his cultural context, which interpreters and preachers ought to be doing, because we got to apply the word. But I think translators ought to force people back into the understanding of the original context. For example, I certainly would oppose anyone saying this culture doesn't like animal sacrifices. I mean, it's repugnant in this culture, so we're not going to translate lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, or behold the Lamb of God. Lamb is repugnant in this culture. I think that's a tragic mistake, because you want to force them back into understanding what a lamb was in that culture and how the lamb looked forward to Christ and how Christ was the Lamb of God. You don't want to get them thinking strictly in their culture. So in that sense, I prefer the more literal. I do not prefer the more literal if you mean get some word-for-word sequence that corresponds to this word-for-word sequence, because sometimes you've lost the meaning. You don't have form C corresponding to form C now. You created form D by doing that, by following a kind of literal sequence. So I would tend on this side to be more, let's say, NASB as opposed to NIV in terms of the translation, because it forces the people back into that original cultural context. And definitely I would be opposed to the good news. The good news is bad news, as far as I can see. Well, yeah, those are just, you know, theologically biased translations. I mean, that's doing great disservice to understanding what the Bible meant in its context. I mean, you can debate what the Bible teaches about the role of male and female, but you do great disservice to understanding what it's saying by changing that arbitrarily. I mean, that is really an arbitrary selection. So I oppose that completely. May as well write your own Bible as to do that. I like the way that, the New Revised Standard Version went through that whole debate, and one of the main translators was Metzger, and he's quite a sharp guy, and he came to our school to speak and present the new RSV at Libertine. He was giving a lecture, and he said, we were put under a lot of pressure by the feminists to to change the he's and all of that, and put she's in. And we just said to him, we'd be glad to translate 1 Peter 5, and the devil as a roaring lion goes about seeking whom she may devour. I mean, none of them want God changed from he to she, but they don't want the devil changed from he to she. Yeah, he's an evangelical. Sharp guy, too. Well, I knew that the feminist movement was going to fail when they wanted to change manhole covers to people hole covers. I mean, I don't mind it being called a manhole cover. Just because it covers a sewer. You know, it's a manhole cover is that metal cover on top of sewers you see in our streets for you and other cultures. I don't care they call it a manhole cover. You don't have to call it a people hole cover. I don't mind that they call boats she, and country she. I don't have to refer to America as as him or he. I like to think of America as her.